Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to BKG Foods International Q2 FY25 post-earnings call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Hazel Rathore. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for BKG Foods International Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Rishabh Jain, CFO, and Mr. Manoj Verma, COO. I now request Mr. Rishabh Jain to take us through the key opening remarks, after which we can open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the call. So, first of all, wish you all a great and happy Diwali. And so basically, from BKG lens, so company has delivered a robust growth in volume. So volume sense, we grew at 15%, close to 15% volume growth in second quarter. And from value level, basically all the category has grown at upward 20%. Be it sweet, papad, western snack, grew at plus 20%. Ethnic snacks have grown at plus 10%. So all double digit growth, despite tough challenging environment in the street. Overall, from category lens also, we did a reasonably good job. We also started consumer offers in this season, mid of September and August. So mid of August, basically, we started a consumer offer, BKG Bhav Vyanjan Rao, which was never before. This is the first time we've done this. And we're getting good response from this campaign. And you will see the results from family pack growth. So family pack is growing reasonably well, sweet compared to impulse pack. Getting good traction from the same. Overall, from cost lens also, we're seeing a cost pressure in edible oil, wheat, palm oil, or few purchases. But we were very proactive in passing on the prices. Or we are also learning cost, working on cost saving program, cost control program, where our team is working on cutting the prices and saving the price for the company. So largely, from at both level, we are trying to maximize profit. But yeah, our main endeavor will be growing the volume, at least for next two years. That's main endeavor will be. Overall, so in quarter two, our value has grown at 15.5%, where volume growth was 15%. And if we exclude PLI, our value growth is close to 16%. Our EBITDA growth is close to 32%. Our EBITDA is at close to 14.8%, but without PLI, our EBITDA is close to 13%. Overall, PAT growth compared to last quarter was close to 14.7%. Our gross margin in first quarter was close to 32.2%. And this quarter, despite increasing price in palm oil, increasing few purchase price, we try to maintain the gross margin same level, so 32%. From H1 lens, so basically overall, our revenue growth is the value from operation growth 18.5%, where volume growth is very strong at 15.5%. Our EBITDA growth is close, the EBITDA margin is close to 15.3%. Also, like this year, Diwali is in October versus last year Diwali was in October, November. So last year we got extra 10 days, 7-8 days. So the sweet sale was major push in second quarter this year versus last year. It was also in contribution was put in third quarter. So there will be little preponderance of sweet sale in this quarter. From overall capacity length, so we are good in capacity. So we have built capacity in last 2.5 years across all food and focus markets. And we are largely okay with what capacity we have for next 2-3 years. It doesn't need major capex for growing the capacity for investment. In sweet category, of course, we will do some investment in next 1 year to grow the capacity to meet the expectation, because we are seeing great conversion of alumni to organize in sweet category. And there are a lot of innovation which we and across industry is doing in the sweet category, adding few products to future markets, like Kaju Katli or Laddu. These are big products coming on in the last 1 or 2 years, what we have seen. So overall, some number of outlet plans. So basically, we always focus on adding direct coverage, as this is what it helps us in getting right distributed retailer and focusing on right talking on schemes, focusing on right coverage, focusing on right product at right outlets. That's what we are focusing on our sales. We added sales team in last 1.5 years, and because our major focus, like you'll see in the last 1 year, where in September 23, our overall direct reach was 2,8,000, we increased to 2,78,000. So that's 7,000 increase in direct coverage. And that's what our endeavor is, to reach at least 3.5 lakh outlets till FY20.
Yeah, so this was a Bikaji Khao London Jao consumer offer. This was on our large packs, family packs, and a never before kind of investment for the consumer what we did. This has given good and very, very, you know, magnanimous branding opportunity across. And the vehicles that we used onto it was getting onto prime time. You know, we were also co-sponsor for combining a Crorepati kind of program across channels, news channels, print media, BTL, and the rest of the activations along with it. So there were a lot of, you know, noise, or which is still there in the market, because this promo would continue till 15th of December. So a half of the last quarter is what we could utilize in this, and we'll have almost full quarter three to leverage on this promo. The entire buzz is being created around social media. Talking on the quarter two business performance, if you look at the volume growth, as Rishabh spoke about, is 15% over last year. Revenue growth 18.5%. This is inclusive of PLI. Net of PLI is 16%. The thing is that ethnic snacks is at 10.5% growth. Western snacks at 23.2% growth, and packaged sweets at 22% growth. Normally, there's always a thing when sweets does high or is on a high growth or high share of business. That's the time ethnic snacks takes a little hit on that stuff, because end of the day, there is a stocking capacity on the retailer's shelf, and the stock weight at the store goes down. So that's a general phenomena if you look over last many, many years. That's how it goes. So this is purely in line of it. Papad has grown in this quarter at 26%. So some total Q1, Q2, so YTD, H1 numbers, if we look at, volume growth stands at 15.5%, revenue growth at 18.6%, ethnic snacks 13.1%, packaged sweets 22.7%, western snacks at 24.5%, and Papa at 19.4% growth. A trend, if you look at now over quarter two last year versus quarter two this year, so ethnic snacks contribution from 68.9% last year is now at 65.5%. This is primarily because higher salience of sweets in this month, in this quarter. At a H1 level, if you look at, so H1 25, it's almost 70%, which is ethnic snacks, and over last year it was 71.4. Sweets has slightly moved up, which is what Tisha was explaining, that this time it is a little early Diwali, so it has moved up in this quarter, moving up to 13.5% contribution versus 12.8%, which was last year. Western snacks is at 9.1 versus 8.4 last year. Our other is at 2.6 this year versus 2.5, which is almost the same. It is Papad, which has slightly moved up at 5% share of business versus 4.9 last year. Talking about geography, so our core markets in this quarter has grown at 11%, focus markets has grown at 27%, other markets has grown at 34%, that's on the back of modern trade and sweets and gifting, which plays a big role in the rest of the state. Export continues to grow at a good double digit number at 20% in this quarter. Overall, H1 data or growth percentage, if you talk about, core states are at 12.7%, focus at 14.8%, other states at 40.6% and export at 14.7%. What we always talk about, you know, our dominance or the strong footage on the family pack. So in quarter two this year, family packs has grown at 22.4%, while impulse packs was little slow at 6.9%. The contribution of family pack hence is now at 62.3% in this quarter versus 59.1% in the last year's quarter two. But at our H1 level, if we look at our family pack is at 19.7% growth, impulse at 10%, and the split between family pack and impulse pack is 59.6% versus 57.6% last year, and the impulse pack this year is 39.1%, which was 41% last year.
So overall, from revenue lens, so we have done close to 721 crore of revenue from operation, where EBITDA is close to 107 crore rupees. The EBITDA margin is at close to 14.8%. Overall, so, compared to last quarter, overall EBITDA was close to 16%, primarily due to higher gross margin compared to this quarter. So, but overall, compared to in this quarter, so we have an ad cost of close to upper of 2% versus in last quarter one. Our ad cost was less than 0.5%. So despite increasing ad cost, our EBITDA margin is intact, and largely this lot of efficiency which has been below gross margin level, which is came in when we start building sales and top line, and that's what we will see in next 2-3 years. Also from cost management level, so we did a lot of cost management activity which has helped us in overall maintaining margins. Be it managing freight at right place, opening depots to different place, or be it at the cost RM raw material packing material level, where we have done long term contract at the right time to have hedge in overall pricing of a commodity. This edible oil, so basically edible oil, so in last quarter, majorly in September we have seen increase in prices, but in third quarter we are seeing edible oil price increase in a different level. So overall edible oil increase compared to last quarter is close to 22%. But overall we also started passing on the prices in October. In October 1st week we increased the price to the tune of 2.5% in quality snacks category, which will help in maintaining the margin at overall level. And this year we've seen a good crop, across a good rain, and we are seeing good crop coming in. So we are seeing price reduction in key commodities. We started seeing in wheat, and everything we are seeing price reduction. So we are hopeful that in next third and fourth quarter, we'll again change to our original levels of gross margin. From balance sheet level, so it's all in second quarter largely, we see upward of debtors and stock. This mainly to support orders, like modern trades normally do 30 to 40 days of outstanding, so largely from modern trade and to debtors party. But normally in third quarter, it's all realized. So this is a second quarter phenomena where Diwali season is substitute of stock and data. That's from the presentation part. I'll also place on PLI. So last year PLI. So basically we'll mostly be receiving fourth quarter from the government, and we'll file all the filings to the government by third quarter end of third quarter. So we're hopeful that government will reimburse the same in fourth quarter. Normally it's 12 months phenomena, that means we will receive the same in a duration of 12 months. That's the part. Thank you very much. We're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, can you give some idea on what is the inflation in palm, especially after the import duty was levied? And does it make sense for you now to also launch some other variants which are not made with palm oil if the cost differential isn't too huge? Maybe price them at a slight premium with a health focus, etc. Does that make sense? And thirdly, what are the pricing actions that you have put in place or which would require to be put in place in order to meet the input cost inflation?
Thank you, Percy. So basically, of course, this, so you see that our average purchase of palm oil was close to 100 rupees either in second quarter versus currently we are doing 125 plus right now. So we see increase in palm oil, and not in palm oil, but all the other oil because all running same way. But yeah, we have immediately taken action and we have started passing on the prices on October 1st. We have increased the price of our all sorties like sweet, 5 rupees, 10 rupees, we reduce some damage. In tangible, we increase MRP. So we started working on the same and we increased the business with 2.5%. So that's the action we have taken.
Sorry, how much I missed that?
2 to 2.5%. Between 2 to 2.5%. Price.
And that is enough to maintain your margins, or this is only the first tranche and more price increases would be required?
It's largely enough. So basically, we are also seeing post November. So maybe from end of November, we are looking some downside in key raw materials. So it will be held largely. So we are not seeing any major price increase in third quarter.
Understood. And a lot of companies have been talking about urban slowdown. Are you witnessing any such thing in your business?
That's true to a certain extent, but it so happens that our gifting and speech is very, very large. And that is the reason that for us, urban has not been as bad. But, you know, when we visit markets and all, and which is reflecting, you know, from our small pack performance, which should have been much better, but it's on a slightly lower side. So yes, that's what is the stuff. Because, you know, when you do wholesale or these peripheral small outlets in urban where the throughput of small packs is very high. So that has slightly come down. Overall, you know, if we look at rural and zone are done better than urban, net of gifting and street.
So going ahead, let's say in 3Q or definitely in 4Q, this gifting and sweets will not be there to rescue. So if the demand environment continues at the current level, how much of an impact do we see in our business in terms of volume?
So two things. One is that now, if you look at our business phasing in quarter two, quarter three, it has a huge component of gifting and the sweets, right? All I meant was that these two components have huge share of business, but in terms of growth standpoint or budget delivery, they are in line with what we had planned. In quarter three, these two components are small. So what we have done is, and which is what I was trying to explain, that to keep up this urban momentum, the BKG Thao London, consumer offer, we have extended till December. So this would certainly help us both in Bhujia and in Namkeen. So that's what we are covering. And most of our team is on to it. I mean, there would be certain things which we would be doing. So as to proactively, you know, find out that what is that we need to do, and we will see these programs rolling out in the market. So we are cognizant of this challenge and trying to address that too.
Got it. And coming to your focus states, can you give some color on out of the 5-6 states that we have, where is it that we are getting very good traction? Where is it that we are lagging? Roughly what kind of market share we have achieved in the best among these 6 states? Some flavor of that, please.
So we added, you know, last year one state in our focus state, which is Chhattisgarh, and that was primarily because we got our plant up in Raipur, right? This is a small state, small in terms of the category size as well. But we have done, we've got very, very good results, you know, in last 1 year, what we've seen. So Chhattisgarh has come out very well, which is in the upwards of 5% market share in LVC. Even otherwise, if you look at, there's a share gain across states, across all the focus states. Delhi is one state which has not done so well. I mean, because of competitive intensity is fairly high. And I think, you know, when we look back, we also haven't done or could not do as much for Delhi. So that's what would need some more attention. Otherwise, rest of it is all on track. And that perhaps is the reason is that overall 27% growth from focus states in this quarter.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Anand Shah from Axis Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. Just a question on the recent acquisitions. I mean, of DHS and you looking to sort of build out the brand in QSR. So just wanted to understand your thought process here and any specific capital deployment you have planned here. Are you looking for more acquisitions? Will you also be scaling up the Bikaji brand into QSR and all?
Right. So Anand, basically, this acquisition major objective was like we want to create a house of brand strategy where Bikaji will mainly focus on North Indian snacks and sweets. But you will see bakery, artisanal sweets is a big category coming up and it's a big market in the next, we see, 5-10 years. And that's how this Hazelnut factory came in. And this is majorly into artisanal sweets, bakeries, or coffee. So that's a major sale and the best part is it's highly profitable. They are doing EBITDA of close to 11-12% the top end what they are doing and we see great potential in the next 5-7 years to get this business. Currently, we have valued the company at 100 crore pre-money and we have taken 40% stake in first tranche. In the next 2 years, we will increase our stake to 53-54%. That's the plan. That's the plan we have as of now. But yeah, we see great potential and we normally look into it when we see acquisition basket. So we see small brands where we can help and make them big. That's where our expert, that's where we will focus on.
Yes. And they would have so all these bakery and artisan products you will essentially be looking to scale up in your own vision and also be more like this cafe QSR model.
Right. So basically we, of course, Bikaji QSR will also come up in end of this year. But yeah, we're also evaluating all other division, be it this bakery business is big, it's very big and they are very usefully made, so they are made this business. So we see great potential in this acquisition. Like what we see that business can become 5x in 5 years comfortably.
Okay, great. And also on another acquisition, I mean, if you can outline Aliba Foods, you had done a while ago, a few months back, on the frozen food side. So, I mean, you also expanding capacities in frozen. So, what is the plan here in terms of scaling up the frozen business?
So, basically, this we are strengthening our backend. So, we have one frozen plant in Bikaner, which is in Bikaji Foods, and in Aliba Foods. So, we have done complete backend. We have strengthened our backend. And now, so this, all the, this, our QSR versus this Hazelnut also, when they will scale, this capacity will help them to grow further in the business without looking at major, any other investment in CapEx.
So, Aliba will act as a backend as well as enhance your export business,
both. Also, in export also, frozen is a big category and we'll start focusing export post Diwali, for outside India market. There's a big opportunity for us.
And currently, how big will be your frozen exports business?
Currently, it's very small. It's close to 25-30% of overall export.
25%. Okay. Got it. And lastly, just any specific amount of capital that you are sort of blocking and entering plans towards this CSR expansion and all?
So we doesn't see any major expansion coming in the next 2-3 years and we have done major capex in the last 2-3 years. Now normally, so we'll generate a lot of cash in the next 2-3 years. So we'll look at right asset, which can give either category addition or anything. So we'll invest into this, but yeah, it doesn't require any major fund area in any way.
Okay. Got it. And on your focus states, I mean, the kind of expansion and distribution are you doing? Are you seeing any resistance from any competition there or any competitive intensity rising here? But you are expanding and doing well in some of the focus markets.
See, we are very small at this point in time. So now our competition, you know, to start with and getting distribution is nothing to do with the major giants there or the other market leaders. It is it's a journey. It's a, you know, getting our placement done, which is what we are working on. And we have gained number of stores in these focus markets here. Today. I think that perhaps the question what you're asking would be, you know, getting shares from the competition or from the market leaders. That would be part two of it. But for now, distribution is falling in place. Our ATL activation and BTL activation gives the air cover to the sales team to get displacements in these markets and in these stores.
Got it. And one last question, this campaign that you are running, that you'll be booking the cost in the A&P line, so this 2% of spend that you have done this quarter, that would be capturing the
data. Yeah, that's a consumer offer, yeah, so it is.
And all the potential, all the costs.
Yeah. And so on A&P, will you see a good amount of hype this year because of these consumer offers and all? I mean, does this your usual things and all?
Oh, we'll manage within our budgets what we have. I mean, this is just our allocation, I mean, what we did in this job.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, and happy to welcome you.
Thank you, and same to you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Nuvama. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, congrats. My first question is on the 5 rupee price point. So we have seen in the past few years, noodles face this issue that at 5 rupee, the grammage became so low that they had to vacate it, and eventually even 10 got vacated in the urban areas. So I wanted to understand at 5 rupee, what is the challenge? Are we very close now to saturation point, given palm oil is seeing very sharp inflation? If you could talk about, is the customer happy at that 5 rupee price point against the grammage which you will now offer post the grammage cut?
I agree, Manoj here. So I think now the example you took of Maggi is perfectly right, because that used to be a meal that was not a snacking. I think the better example would be biscuits, wherein, you know, 5 rupee pack still exists and still a dominant share of business of this particular price point. And the snacking category is also in line with the same. So, for now, the price is going to be passed to the consumer. They will witness in this month onwards, right? So that's where it is. But I think there is still a headroom that now we can go ahead. Over a period of time, maybe in 3 to 5 years is what you will see the larger impact. Because if I look at 5 and 10 SKUs put together, still in the namkeen category, they contribute to 70% of business.
Okay. And second question is, whenever the new packaging norms come in terms of all the carb, fat and all those calories, etc., being more prominently featured, would you see that as an opportunity given the local players or maybe the customer also will then become more aware? And so maybe he will go towards more branded, but flip side is maybe he will cut down also, because on health and all this heart related issue and the customer awareness is also increasing. So if you could specifically comment on the packaging norms whenever they come, how do you see impact on the business?
Yeah, so see, we abide by all the norms in the compliance which comes as in the end. So see, if you look at how we realize just a 5 rupee pack, there is hardly a place to put, or when you put, I mean, for a consumer or a shopper standpoint, not as comfortable to read even. 70% of the business happens from 5 and 10 rupee pack. So that kind of and on the go consumer is not as much conscious. It is the family pack wherein, you know, these things go loud and bold. And that is good for us, is in terms of that, you know, vis-a-vis competition. I think we would only gain mileage in that stuff. To your last point, I mean, we haven't seen these changes. If you see every year, there's something or the other has kept on changing. But that has not been, you know, admit any impact in terms of what, any measurable impact on our business, which I can quantify.
Sure. Last question is on your quick commerce, e-commerce, if you could share some more initiatives and numbers. And second is a lot of FMCG companies are expanding in rural areas significantly in terms of van direct distribution reach, etc. For example, Godrej Consumer spending 100 bits of their sales on vans, significant investment. If you could tell us in terms of van usage in rural areas, how much is the usage by you currently, and do you see that significant ramp up can help in this kind of business?
Yeah, so I'll take the latter question first on the van coverage. So currently what we do is we subsidize our distributors, right? And this is what they do. So it's not a company operated van we have, right? We are not in that model. But yes, we are evaluating it in the focus case where we are not as strong, or where the distributors are not getting as much ROI to run on their own. That's on the cards, but we haven't started as yet. Howsoever, our coverage in the rural market in the core is a stage is pretty high, but then done and led by our super distributors or the sub distributors there.
Okay, quick commerce, e-commerce.
And yeah, so I'm coming on to Quickcom. So Qcom is doing extremely, extremely well, and it's not only for us, I think it's for the industry. As such, talking about numbers, so H1 growth for Qcom is 165%. So that's the kind of number, obnoxiously high, but also because of one lower base, and second that they are also opening more and more pin codes. So it's both organic and inorganic growth, which is what is translating into these numbers. But yes, very promising. And that's and this heat is going back to the general trade accounts, right? So there's a lot of noise around, you know, the general trade that, you know, our business is going to Qcom and all, but that's how the business is. I'm sure GT will, being a very high share of business, would continue. But for now, yes, there is some resistance. How we as an organization look this Qcom is an opportunity to grow our category, because many a times, you know, a Qcom consumer, you know, in the absence of Qcom would not have had that product, but this ease gets him to consume that stuff. So it is a little bit of cannibalization from general trade to Qcom, but we see it as an opportunity that now this is how the category is also growing, or will help category grow.
Just one small follow-up and that's the last. So in terms of 5 rupee, 10 rupee on quick commerce, is it different versus company average as a mix?
We hardly sell 5 and 10 on that stuff.
Oh, sure. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Nitin from MK Global. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Hi, Manoj, I'm Rishan. I just wanted to give further on your raw material side, where Rishan has highlighted that big November raw material prices should be. Can you elaborate on that?
Raw material pricing, what needs to be elaborated?
No, so raw material prices are inflationary, and you are expecting by mid November prices to sort of ease.
Yeah.
So like, can you throw some light into it, like which all raw materials and how the easing you are expecting?
These are all the purchases we must use. The fresh from now, the fresh crop normally comes in October and November. So there is a fresh crop, so we normally see inflation in pricing across each raw material. Also like for later, I'll give you an example of potato. Currently potato price in a rooftop, it's the end of potato season, but it's a normal mid to normal end. We'll see again fresh potato come in, and the price will be close to 50% of what we are paying as of now in next 1 month, right? So, and that's what we see in all the key crops. So we see major price ease down in few commodities. Few commodities what we are using as of now. But yeah, edible oil is a big factor which we are trying to pass on the same to consumers. But yeah, other than edible oil, all the other purchase what we see in terms of prices.
And this edible oil is how much percent of your raw material? Is it around 30% or higher?
Need to check, but yeah, close to 25%.
Okay, 25%. Okay. Thank you. Second question is on employee cost remained on a higher side. So what are the drivers? Is this because of like a high contract labor or like the ESOP cost or something like that?
So last week was ESOP cost free. Last year in December we gave an ESOP to our employees. That's the ESOP cost, which is one of the major parts in increasing as well. But yeah, last year we added frontline employees, frontline sales team to drive our MDs and driver sales. That's what addition. But yeah, overall, we also added a leadership position like C-Hero added in this year. So we are investing a lot in the people, and that's what will drive business in future.
So is the employee cost increase going to be high going ahead also?
So we see 12-15% growth year on year for next year.
Okay. And lastly, if I look at your capacity, installed capacity data, so there is some shift, there is an expansion QOQ in Namkeen and contraction in speed. So any specific reason for this?
So last day, there is a punch increase in the team versus the change in sessions like last week. So there is some just classification of things, no change.
Okay, so line wise, like in terms of your capacity, you can say it's just the classification. Okay, thank you, sir. Happy Diwali.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Manoj. Good afternoon. Rishabh, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. And congratulations on the Hazelnut acquisition. So I have three questions. So start with Hazelnut. In the first half, what is the number? And the question here is that when do you start reporting and consolidating numbers for Hazelnut?
So this Hazelnut numbers will get reported in post-December 26th when we complete, they will take 50% plus stake in the company. So these are the first rounds where we have taken 40% shares in the company. By end of next year, December 25, we'll take another 7-8%, then 5-6% December 26. So those that will be having majority in that time, this number will get more reported by December 26.
Okay. But would you be able to share what is the first half number in FY25?
In FY25, first half is close to 24-25. Close to any check, but yeah, it will be around.
Okay. So it's running the similar run rate because last year I think you.
Diwali and Gifti is big for them. Like what for us. Because they are also running like what Vikaji store is. They have big stores, majorly focusing on sweets, gifting. So that Diwali will also be like what we have.
Okay.
And see, that's perishable stuff, so it's not a, you know, on CPG kind of a stuff. So you will see that Hazelnut, you know, a very big performance getting into this October month, which would come up in quarter 3, not in H1.
Yeah, I understand. And that's why this question I led, Manoj. Okay. My second question on slide 21, when you compare last year versus this year, the family pack contribution has moved from 59 to 62. So just more curious, because your promotion is on and it will also last till December. So what kind of contribution we will expect? It will inch up, but will it be significantly rise to maybe about 75-80%?
No. So basically the ratio will be around same. I also told you that. So largely this year's Diwali is little earlier. So last year Diwali was in November 10th. This year Diwali is in October 21st, right? So there is little 3.9 of sweet sale also in this quarter. Right, so that's how sweet sale is looking at 20% growth. But overall, when you see the 10-6 months number, it will be nothing. It will be that we are close to what we're doing, what we're doing in next time. So that's how, overall, what we see that the issue will be around the same because in perspective, also grow at the same level. It's not 6-7%. So overall, what we see, 60-40 ratio will be maintained in third quarter also.
Okay. No, if the contribution has gone up about 400 basis points, it's a perfect case that we can expect the margin expansion. Is that the case or right assumption we should go with?
So margin expansion, major focus is at least for next 4 to 6 quarters to drive growth. That's what our major endeavor is. And of course, margin, we want to do a profitable growth. That's what our principle as a principal. So yeah, overall, but yeah, with margin expansion level, we want to do margin EBITDA of the same what we did last two years. That's what we will try to maintain. Subject to some any other currency like edible oil, taxes, gaming, nothing comes in as of now.
Okay. The last question on the edible oil sourcing. Can you just explain how we source edible oil? Because we see the prices has really moved out of roof, and there is an escalation on duty also. So just more curious how we will manage this cost.
So we source from all the big vendors in India. Nothing from. We will not sourcing a direct outlet from India. We are sourcing from Indian vendors. Each all the big vendors who are doing who are selling edible oil. So, but yeah, we are not only dependent on farmers, we are mainly using cotton seed oil, which is mainly farmed and produced nearby Rajasthan. So that's the key commodity which is equal size to what we are using farm oil, that's equal size. So, but yeah, overall price of both the edible oil are largely the same, they both go together, either up or either down. But yeah, overall what we do that we have kept a minimum threshold in gross margin level. So once any threshold breaks, we immediately increase the prices. That's what we did. In October, first week, we passed the prices to the consumers. It will be the first week of pandemic. So that is the threshold.
So just one quick follow-up. Do we hedge and have the fixed contract, or we have a spot and that's the way Indian operators will start to work?
So in pulses, we normally hedge for a longer period of time. But in medieval oil, we normally hedge close to 2 to 4 weeks of type of thing. We don't do long term hedge.
Okay. Thank you and all the best to you and happy Diwali to you.
Thank you.
Happy Diwali.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Priyank Cheda from Valum Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Manoj and Lisa. My question is on the distribution. If you see the direct reach addition has slowed down significantly over the last few quarters now. We are at 278,000 and we have a target of 315,000 by the year end. This means that for next half, we'll have to accelerate the distribution significantly. So, first on how this has decelerated, how it will again accelerate, and if you can also divide this direct reach into focus and core, what has been the reach for September?
Yeah, so let me clarify to start with. When we said that 3.5 lakh outlets, so that's the outlook or the target what we have for by 26. This year we said we'll add 50,000 outlets and another year we'll again add 50,000 outlets. So we are well on track or rather ahead of our expansion plan as of now. This quarter two, if you look at, is more of, you know, Diwali preparations and all that stuff. So therefore, here the game is more of the same store growth or throughput. Now you will see that the major expansion, and we internally intend to cover or come close to our expansion numbers by end of quarter three itself. So whatever spillover or the last change is left will get completed in quarter four. So again, 3 lakhs exit plan for this year, we are already at 2.78 lakh. So well on track on that stuff. Balance 50 would come from the next year, which is 25-26.
Okay, perfect. I thought it 3.5 was for this year. What can be the breakup between focus and core as on September?
Just give me a second, I'll give you the exact number. One second. In the meanwhile, any other question if you have, you can see.
Yeah, just on the clarification part, when Rishabh mentioned, for full year, we will target around 13.5 kind of EBITDA margins, while the earlier guidance was, we were looking out for some around 500 bits of expansion for the full year versus last year. So is that because we expect some volatility in the commodity prices for second half is what we need to bake in while we keep it for, while we're baking for the full year around 13.5?
So largely that's what our major focus will be to drive growth. That's what the volume growth is most for us. But yeah, overall, at margin level also, target is to increase, of course, last year, but yeah,
That's what we try to maintain. 100.5% is the main return and what we try to maintain this year. Overall. BDMH.
Okay. Cool. No problem. Thank you. And meanwhile, whenever it's possible, you can send across your distribution list for focus and growth. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The last question is from the line of Tushar Khurana from Dasalado Advisory. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. In last quarter, your export growth was around 6.7%, slower than expected. Have exports picked up regarding your segments, like in quarter two compared to traditional snacks and Western snacks?
So exports basically, Diwali. So Diwali is in October. So exports normally we mainly focus on sweets and namkeen flavors. That's what it is. Of course, rural is very less. So that's what we are focusing.
Western is a very small component in export business because it carries a huge logistics cost, whosoever takes it. So it's primarily, if you look at it, is namkeens and sweets. That's the key stuff.
Okay, sir. So, you are planning capital expenditure. So, can you tell me, on what segments you will mainly do your investment, like to support expected demand growth of your segments?
Nothing major capital is there. So, it's regular maintenance capital plus few additional sweet
category. So what Rishabh was talking about, perhaps know what you're taking away from, is that sweets we will build some capacity. That's what it is, but that will be a very minor investment.
Okay, sir. That's it for now, sir.
Thank you very much. Happy Diwali.
Happy Diwali, sir. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vineet Bhutra from IIFL Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question was on the QSR part. Like in the last con call, you have mentioned that the trial will be going on for next 18 months. So as like you have mentioned that you'll be opening 5 to 6 stores. So in which stage you are planning to open the stores, can you just specify?
That's very early to answer. Maybe by next quarter end we will be able to tell you.
Thank you,
sir. The next question is from the line of Niril Parekh from Aviga Capital Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hi, sir. First of all, congratulations for the set of results you have achieved. My question is for the Hazelnut Factory acquisition that we have done. So with respect to that, I need some data inputs for the store, a mix of the 6 to 8 stores they have.
Gentlemen, you're not audible. Can you be a little closer to the microphone?
Sure, sir. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Okay. So my question was respect to the Hazelnut Factory. So over there we have acquired like around 6 to 8 stores with that. And I wanted some space for economics, like how much is the CapEx to per store revenue average, the average order value we get.
So largely, the one store cost is close to 2 crore rupees. And they normally sell close to 6 to 7 crore rupees of sales in a year. So that's overall metrics of the Hazelnut Factory. And overall purchase, per bill value is close to 350 per unit, 350 per unit.
Okay, thank you a lot.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Raj Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. I'm audible. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. My question is, what is the reason for the higher tax rate in this quarter?
So basically, higher tax rate is, few additions, few deferred tax provisions, basically, and that's overall ESOP cost was there. Last year versus this year, ESOP cost was not there. ESOP cost was there this year, and ESOP provision was there, tax provision. Mainly due to ESOP and Hanuman Agro merger was there. That's how extra tax provision has been.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's all for me. Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, sir. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for taking time out. It's always wonderful connecting with you all, and I am best to take as many questions and answer your questions. In any case, any of the question or any of the participants has missed out asking anything, please reach out to us, we'll be happy to answer. Thank you very much and wishing you all a very, very happy Diwali ahead.
On behalf of BKG Foods International Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.